You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast where it's National Hunt all the way in the afternoon. We're at Hexham, Chepstow and Warwick. Then into the evening on the Folly Track at Kempton Park. There's a good card there. And we've got an Irish meeting over at Fairy House. You'll hear every race live from 12:10 PM in the Racing Radio studio with Stephen Powell, Craig Forsyth and James Millman to guide you through a bit ahead of all that. Joining myself, Sam Norris, on this edition of the podcast to look ahead to four contests on Wednesday is Kevin O'Malley. How are you, Kev?
I'm not too bad, Sam. Very good indeed.
Good. Enjoyed the racing over the last few days. It was tricky stuff yesterday.
You'd have to question your pulse if you didn't enjoy that racing over the weekend. It was fantastic stuff.
Certainly was. We'll reflect a little bit on some of the stories that have came out of the weekend. But making the front page this morning, Kev, is Konigry's Hennessy bid hangs in the balance. We saw him come back so impressively at Sandown. You had to be taken by the way he attacked his fences, and everyone was expecting perhaps a little setback after the Gold Cup. He showed no signs of that at Sandown. Has there maybe been a little something since? Is it the Gold Cup and the Sandown race all catching up with him now?
Well, he's spread a plate, which can happen to any horse, and it's just a case of giving him the time he needs to recover from that. I don't think it necessarily infringes on his well-being at the minute, which seems to be just outstanding. I mean, he was tremendous over them fences at Sandown. Really uses himself so well over a fence, and he just looked in terrific heart. And yeah, sure, the Gold Cup was a really hard race. And if he does miss the Hennessy, I mean, you can guarantee in the Hennessy it's going to be a very, very difficult race. So he needs to be A1 for that. And obviously they're going to be looking at the Gold Cup and working backwards from there. If they do miss the Hennessy, it wouldn't be the end of the world. But obviously as punters and race fans, we want to see the best horses lining up for that. We want to see how he gets on against Sapphire the Roe and at Newbury. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he gets on, but hopefully he'll make it to the Hennessy because it would just be a tremendous spectacle.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you say, if he does miss the Hennessy, there's always the King George. They will have to pay a 10 grand supplement fee.
I'm sure they can stretch there, can't they? Yeah, I'm sure they could muster up that few quid to get into the King George. And, you know, Kempton would suit him absolutely fine as well. And he'd be the horse to beat there. You know, he ticks all the boxes. he's the up-and-comer. I mean, obviously, Sylvie Nakoconti's won the last two renewals. But, you know, if the likes of Vautour and Coney Green, one or two others, Don Cossack, do turn up at Kempton, you know, Sylvie Nakoconti arguably faces his toughest field ever. And, hopefully we'll get a good race, whatever happens.
Yeah, we go 11-4 about Coney Green now for the Hennessy. One of the main stories that came out of the weekend over from Ireland, Kev, was Fauhin's shock defeat to stablemate Nichols Canyon. Sporting, of course, and Willie Mullins to run them both in the same race. They're going to go for very different paths over Christmas. Fauhin, we expect to see at Kempton, and Nichols Canyon will go to Leopardstown. And I suppose Willie Mullins rightfully points out this morning, both those tracks suit the respective horses a little bit more.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, Fauhin won the Christmas Hurdle last year very easily. I think it was Purple Bay that came second, and it'll be interesting to see what horses turn up there. as for Nichols Canyon, yeah, sure. I mean, Arctic Fire could turn up in that same Ryanair from the same stable, and from a punting perspective, you'd imagine they'll make Nichols Canyon favourite for that. But as a punter, I'd be looking maybe to take him on with something like Arctic Fire on the back of that seasonal debut win. But yeah, I mean, Fauhin, that air of invincibility has been lifted now, and it'd be interesting to see how he reacts to that on his second run of the season.
What did you make of his defeat at the weekend? Obviously quite interesting to see him not lead from the front, as he has done in the races we've seen recently.
As a punter, it does annoy me sometimes when jockeys and connections see fit to change tactics that have worked in the past. It was reported earlier in the week that Fauhin had slaughtered Nicholas Canyon in a racecourse gallop or a piece of work at the Curra. And, you know, they were dumbfounded as to how he managed to beat him. But, you know, Nicholas Canyon's a top class horse, and he stays really well. He stays further than 2 miles, so he was never going to stop when he got to the front. And Faheen was obviously a little bit flat footed, and he was caught out. You know, horses get beat. It's not going to define Faheen's career, the fact that his winning streak has now come to an end. It doesn't define him as a champion. No, in no way is that the case. Horses get beat, and you know, he's a fantastic hurdler, and I think he will be back.
Okay, fair enough. We look forward to seeing the Mullins pair then over the Christmas period. Matters closer at hand then. We had the final declarations for the Betfair Chase. Siviniaco Conti is the even money favourite for the Betfair Chase. Q Card 11-4, Ballynagore 8-1, Dynast 8-1, Holywell is 10, 16-1 about Minora, and O'Farrell's Boy is 20-1.
It's a disappointing renewal when you consider how many Jigginstown horses there are there. You know, they could have just sent one over. Just send any of them over. Even, you know, any of them would have done. But, you know, we don't have any Irish horses over for it. And it's a shame, really, because it would have been good to see where they stand against the likes of Q Card and Siviniaco Conti at this stage of the season. It'll be good to have the 2014 RSA winner of Whelan's Boy back in action, see how he is. And, but yeah, overall, I'm just a little bit disappointed that one or two of the Irish horses didn't turn up.
Very similar to last year, isn't it? And that big purse that's been put on offer for
Ignored.
The Triple Crown, it hasn't tempted Mullins or Elliot to send any over.
It's £1 million, is a lot of money. It's a lot of money, and a lot of people have been a little bit negative about this incentive, and there is the argument that you can, you know, that £1 million could be better spent elsewhere, etc., etc., but as an incentive, it's a lot of money, and I'm surprised that so many are turning their nose up at it, but hey, that's the way of the world.
Yeah, it looks unlikely that bonus is going to be claimed this year, Kev. Can you see any of these completing the Triple Crown, any of the Betfair Chase field?
No.
No.
In a word, no.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Siviniaco Conti is Evans' favourite. He's the most likely winner, and he doesn't like Cheltenham, so.
Yeah. No, absolutely right. We've also priced at the Tingle Creek overnight. William Hill go best price about Sprinter Sacra at 5-4. Vibrato Valtat is 7-2. Simon Sig is 5-1. Cider Grugy 10s and Summersby at 16s. The Sprinter is back, is what they're saying over the weekend, Kev.
Well, Simon Sig at 5-1 is the interesting one there, isn't he? He travelled like a demon there over hurdles when he was just beaten by Bobsworth, and he'd obviously been dropping back to 2 miles. He's an out-and-out 2-miler in my view. So at 5-1, he might be the more solid proposition. But by the same token, 5-4, top price at William Hill, Sprinter Sacra. It's a little bit of a dangler, isn't it? Because you can be sure if he does turn up, he's going to go off 4-6. He'll go off odds on 100% if he does turn up. So that dangler 5-4 there for those looking for the early Christmas money, that price will have its supporters.
Yes, certainly will. We're looking forward to all the fantastic jump racing that we've got coming forward. Anything else to throw in the mix then, Kev, before we move on to Wednesday's action?
No, I mean, I think over the last couple of days we've mentioned Cheltenham, we've talked about it so much, and it's just a case of cracking on with it. Yeah, I mean, everybody talks about Kempton over Christmas, but I actually not prefer, but I love the Leopardstown meeting. You know, the Lexus meeting's got so many fantastic races there. Novice chases, novice hurdles, and, you know, so many fantastic horses that are going to have a big, big say in how this season goes. So it's not just Kempton, and I just can't wait for the Christmas period now to get going, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to it immensely. We must move on, though, to Wednesday's racing. We've got two from Chepstow and two from Kempton to bring you on this edition of the podcast. We'll start with Chepstow's 2:30. This is a handicap chase over 2 mile and 7 furlongs. 11 of them line up for this class 4. It's a bit of a puzzle, this one, Kev.
Oh, talk to me about it. It is a real puzzler. I'm quite keen on Crack of Thunder as a horse. He's a bit of a lazy type, but there is certainly an engine there. He won at Warwick back in May and reappeared at Southall last month, and he was quite well fancied to win that. Went off at 9-4, but he just looked really lazy. He was given reminders and he just didn't look terribly interested, but it didn't go particularly good pace. And I think he will get the pace that he wants here, Crack of Thunder. And I think on his second run of the season, he'll be able to give a better account. Another horse that I was quite interested in is Nailham, Nigel Hawks, 7-year-old gelding who hasn't been seen since April of last year. He comes out really well on the speed figures if he doesn't show any ill effects from that 582-day absence. But overall, I quite like the look of Crack of Thunder. I think it'll be a reasonable price for Charlie Longston.
Okay, Crack of Thunder then, the selection for Kev. Charlie Longston and Aidan Coleman teaming up in that 2:30. Move ahead to the 3:30 at Chepstow. A handicap chase here over 2 mile and 3. Just the 7 go down to post for this class 4 event. Another tricky one, Kev.
It is. I mean, I think 2 Woomba is going to be quite well fancied for the Hobbs stable. A potentially progressive 7-year-old with some pretty solid form in the book. but it isn't overly imposing in terms of getting him beat. I mean, he went off at 9-2 last year for his opening run of the season, and he really disappointed that day. So it just remains to be seen how well he goes fresh. He might need the run, and I was quite keen on Tolkien's Tango, who actually won at Exeter first time out last season from a mark of 110, and he held his form pretty well for the rest of the season. He goes really, really, really well on soft ground. He loves Chepstow. He sluiced up in a course and distance handicap there last year from a mark of 115. Shot up to 125 and lost his way a little bit then. But he reappears from a mark of 118, which is pretty workable considering that he does go well at this stage of the season. So, I was just quite taken with the overall profile of Tolkien's Tango, and Victor Dartland tends to do well at this time of the season, and I think he goes well fresh. So yeah, Tolkien's Tango will just about do for me in that race. It is a tricky affair though.
Tolkien's Tango then, the selection in the 3:30 at Chepstow. We'll move on to Kempton then. It's a good card on the Poly track on Wednesday evening from Kempton Park, and we start with their feature race of the night, the 6:55. This is a listed event. It's the All-Weather Championship Fast Track Qualifier, ran over a mile. 10 runners go down to post, and quite a few big names here. We've got the likes of Richard Pankhurst, once a favourite for the Derby at one stage, Gordon Lord Byron. He's set to go off and ply his trade in Hong Kong. There's a few interesting ones here, Kev.
Yeah, star-studded stuff. Richard Pankhurst is likely to go off a warm enough favourite for it, and rightly so. I mean, he won the Chesham Stakes at Royal Ascot last year in really good style, but he's been plagued with niggles and stuff and hasn't been seen on the track as much as connections would have liked. He returned to action at Haydock back in early September, and he just held on to deny Dark Emerald, who he was getting some weight from, and it was just a functional performance without being overly impressive. And it's interesting that they've seen fit to try him on a synthetic surface going forward. So yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how he gets in. He could be the type of horse to light up this All-Weather Championships, but he does need to take a big step forward and prove that he's up to it. Gordon Lord Byron is one of my favourite sprinters. I think he's one of everyone's favourite sprinters, really, and this will just be a stepping stone to Hong Kong. You should imagine he's going to Heathrow via Kempton. Sovereign Debt has been in tremendous form this year. He's been on the go all year, and he's only been out of the frame once in about 12 runs. But I just think the interesting one for me is Mark Prescott's Celestial Path, who was a really good juvenile last year, and he was well supported to win at Redcar last time out, but ultimately just failed to fire, really, for no real reason. That was his first outing since finishing fifth in the 2000 Guineas. And I still think this horse has a pretty lucrative career ahead. You know, generally speaking, Prescott's horses improve with age, and cheek pieces are applied today. And with Luke Morris doing the steering, he's a prolific jockey on the all-weather. And I just think Celestial Path could prove to be the value in that race.
Celestial Path and the one for Kev in the 6:55 there at Kempton. The next race on Kempton's card and the last on today's podcast comes up at 7:25. A 2 mile handicap here with 13 of them down to go to post. What did you like in here?
Persevere. There's precious little good recent form to go on. And Persevere just looks the really dangerous one here from the foot of the weights. Again, Luke Morris will be doing the steering. In the last 28 days, he's ridden 12 winners from his 119 mounts. He's a really busy boy on the all-weather. And this three-year-old comes from the foot of the weights on the back of a convincing win at Chelmsford last time out over a mile and six. And usually quite operational over middle distances, mile and two, mile and four. And was creeping up the handicap, but seems to have opened up a whole world of opportunities over a mile and 6 to 2 miles now. I think that he could prove to continue to progress over these staying trips. He's gone up £8 for that win last time out, but it was a really impressive win, and I think he'll take all the beating from the right end of the weights.
Okay, Persevere then, the bottom one in that 7:25 event at Kempton for Kev. Just remind us, please, one more time of your four selections for Wednesday's action.
Yeah, in the 2:30 at Chepstow, I'm looking at Crack of Thunder to improve upon that first time out run for Charlie Longsden. And in the 3:30, I'm hoping that Tolkien's Tango can win first time out again like he did last season. And at Kempton, I'm hoping that Celestial Path can win the 6:55 for Sir Mark Prescott. And in the 7:25, I think Persevere looks about just looks about just about the strongest of those bets from the four races tomorrow for Sylvester Kirk on the back of a really impressive win at Chelmsford.
Okay, there we are then, the selections of Kevin O'Malley going ahead into Wednesday's racing. And remember to join us from 12:10 PM on William Hill Racing Radio, where we'll have all the action live with Stephen Powell, Craig Forsyth and James Millman in the studio, Hexham, Chepstow and Warwick on the agenda in the afternoon, Kempton on the polytrack in the evening, and there's an Irish card from Fairy House as well. So do join us for all of the action on Wednesday afternoon. Thanks very much for joining me on the podcast today, Kevin. I hope you enjoy it on Wednesday.
Cheers, buddy.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.